And as a follow-up to best-selling book Pub Yarns, author and photographer Colin Whelan has taken his motorbike along the entire length of the River Murray to meet the locals at more than 50 hotels. Drinking in the Rivers Volume 1 is out now. Colin joins me on the line now to have a chat about it. Hey there, Colin.
G'day, how are you going, Jenny?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And gosh, this just sounds like a great excuse to check out some pubs.
Well, too many years ago to remember, I looked around a room and I thought, who deserves to turn their life into a pub crawl more than me? And I couldn't find anyone, so I thought, it's my gig, I'm going to do this.
So tell us about the project. What's it all about?
Right, well, it's a follow-up to a book that I did called The Pub, The Whole Pub and Nothing But the Pub. And as I studied Australian history and the story of settlement and colonisation and stuff like that, it's the rivers that are the arteries, literally the arteries of the inland. And I thought it would be a good project to go down the rivers and to explore the rivers and to explore the pubs and the people along them. It's very much a pub book, but it's drinking in the rivers, not as in sitting in the rivers and drinking, but it's drinking in the people, drinking in the experience, drinking in the whole atmosphere and the stories and the histories. That's why that inn is in the title.
I like that. And it really is the characters that make a town, isn't it?
It does, both present and past. And this sounds really, really, I don't know, what it is talking to a South Australian. But once we got all the book done and we sort of decided what the cover was, we needed a beautiful shot, we needed a character shot, we needed a historic shot, and we needed another special shot. And we selected them all, and would you believe, even though there's so many pubs in Victoria and New South Wales on the Murray, all five of those shots are South Australian.
Oh, great.
That really does say something about the pubs along the South Australian section of the Murray.
They're beautiful, aren't they?
They are, and each of them has incredible stories, lovely people in them. There's just, and they're very welcoming. And I had, once the river turns at Overland Corner and stops going west and starts heading south, the whole quality of the pubs changes. It does step up. It's I don't want to be sycophantic here, but those pubs, the first live pubs in from Renmark all the way down to Goolwa, each of them that I went to, pretty much, there was a couple of exceptions, but every one of them was just special in its own way.
Oh, beautiful. Can you tell us about one or two of your favourite characters that you've met along the way?
South Australians?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let's start at Renmark. Renmark is a famous pub in that it was a community-owned pub from the very start. When the Chaffees started Renmark, they were wowsers. They were dry people. They put their money into forming irrigation projects up there on the understanding, on the absolute basis that there'd be no alcohol. And it was a major fight there for the community to get pub.
No alcohol at the pub?
No alcohol and no pub, you see. They were only accommodation hotels.
Oh,
there was
I see.
There was no pub there. And they got a lady called Jane Meissner, who was a respectable woman, and she had a boarding house, and she became the licensee of the very first pub in Redmark, which still stands today. It's sort of commercial. But I tracked down her great-great-grandson, and I rang him, and his name's Mex, and I said to him, look, how will I recognise you? He said, look, I'll be inside. I've got a white beard and fluoros. And I thought, that doesn't really narrow it down all that much if I'm going to find you in a pub. He said, I've also only got one leg. And I thought, that makes it.
Hmm.
And Megs was an absolute, he knew all the history. Now, Megs is a guy who believes in saving energy, particularly his own energy. So he doesn't drink handles of beer. And I said, why don't you drink handles? Why don't you like the pots with handles on the side? He said, look, it's logical. He said, I'm right-handed. Most of the bar staff are right-handed. So when they give me it, the handle's on the wrong side.
Ah.
He said, I've got better things to do than turning beers around all day. So he doesn't drink handles. And it's those sorts of guys. Further down, there's Jock in the tail and bend, who has the most exquisite character-lined face of anybody I met on the entire way. And he's been drinking there for 57 years at the same pub. Wow. And he used to work in an iron foundry. And he has shoulders in his legs and everything like that. And he carries a walking stick that his father, when his father got old, said, "I'm going to leave you many things, Jock, but the most valued thing I'm ever going to leave you is my walking stick." And he looked at me and said, "You know, Colin, he was bloody right." You know, then you get down. The other person on the cover, Jenny, is down at Meningi. Everybody said, "You've got to talk to Uncle D. You've got to talk to Uncle D." Many people along the river will say, when you're at a pub, you've got to talk to this guy.
Oh yeah,
Uncle D is one of the indigenous elders there. He comes from Rauken, just along the river a bit, and he's an indigenous leader who just oozes warmth, hospitality, knowledge, and wisdom. And there's a difference between, and he sits there and he will expound on the history and the connection of the people to the land, of the lakes, the story of the river, how it all happened. And it's just extraordinary meeting someone like that. You just are in awe. You're just in awe of his grace and his knowledge and his stories. And it's these sorts of people that I can only hope that I give voice to, so that other people can share their wisdom, their tales, their naughtiness, and also their insights into what the pubs along the Murray and the people along the Murray River are.
Oh, brilliant. We're talking about the River Murray, the pubs and the local larrikins, with author of Pub Yarns and Drinking in the Rivers, Colin Whelan. Can you tell us a remarkable yarn that you've learned? Often the most unbelievable ones are the true ones, aren't they?
The most unbelievable ones are the true ones. There's people there that will tell you stories and you go, "No, that's not true. That can't be true." And other people will look over and go, "Yeah, that probably is true." One of the lovely stories, but not necessarily unbelievable ones, was a fellow way back up the other end of the river who, in 1953, Jenny, he was living in Leicester in England, and he was 10 years old. And he watched a movie with Chips Rafferty, and he fell in love with Australia. And he went to his mother and said, "I want to go to Australia." And she put him on, as a 12-year-old, she put him on a steamer out of Leicester, and it sailed from Liverpool, and it sailed all the way to Australia. He was 11 years old. He landed in Sydney. He got picked up by a guy who said, are you Rex Beaver?" "Yes, I am." He said, "You've got to come with me. I've got to teach you how to milk cows." And he took him to a farm west of Sydney. He learned how to milk cows. He was put on a train down to Albury, was picked up by another fellow. "You Rex Beaver?" "Yes, I am. You're working on my farm." And he took him out along the River Murray. And he said he woke up the next morning and he looked out and he thought, "I've fallen into heaven." And he has lived there just saying how exquisitely lucky and fortunate he's been. Now, he doesn't drink very much, but he likes to go to the pub, which is 1.5 kilometres away. And his glaucoma got too bad, and he wasn't allowed to drive anymore 2 years ago. And he thought, "Well, I need to go to the pub just for the community, just for the talking, because pubs are not about drinking necessarily. They're about friendship." Mm. And he had an idea. So he rang the local council and said, "I've got an offer for you." And they said, "Yes, Rex, what can you do for you?" He said, "If I agree to mow the sidewalk when it needs it, will you let me drive my drive-on mower to the pub each day?" And they said, "Done deal." So Rex gets, each afternoon, Rex gets onto his drive-on mower. If the grass doesn't need cutting, he drives with the blades up.
I love that.
If it does need cutting, he drives with the blades down. And so he looks after the council driveway while he's going to the pub.
Oh, that's great. Ingenious.
It's those sorts of stories that you get. Mm. You know, in Wagunya back there, you know, I talked to a guy who was a twin, and he was in drinking when he was 16 years old. And the local sergeant came in and he said, "How old are you?" Snow, his name was Snow. He said, "I'm 18. He said, "Well, that's really funny. I've just been talking to your twin brother down the road, and he said he's 16. Now, finish your drink and get out of here."
Worth a shot. Worth a shot.
And one of the things I do find, and we're from different age groups,
yep.
but the death of the larrikin now, it used to be larrikin behaviour. Good, harmless, nice fun. And it's those larrikin stories that I'm hoping that I'm documenting, because I'm very much afraid that the larrikin, the true larrikin of harmless, good-natured fun, of lurking and doing things that are a bit sort of iffy here and there, it's in danger in Australia. I think
You're still seeing it out and about, aren't you?
I am, but most of the larrikins I speak to are well past their their full larrikin stage.
Yes, you definitely need to document those people, and you're doing that with your camera as well, aren't you?
I am. Look, what I do is I pull out my, when I start talking to them, I pull out my recorder, because my memory, obviously, I can't remember 2 hour conversations in pubs all that well.
Of course.
I have the camera visible, and once they're sure that I'm not humbugging them, that I'm not just sort of being a sponge. Look, I've had a very good life. I've had a very varied life. I've been to many countries in the world. I've done many things. I've been in danger. I've been out of danger. So I can share stories. You get, in any relationship, you get intimacy by giving intimacy. Mm. You get secrets by sharing secrets. You get stories by sharing stories. And once they're relaxed with me and we're telling stories, I will tell them, look, if you ever want to pause anything, then tell me something, just hit that button on the recorder. And often they will. Often they'll get to a stage where they talk about their wife leaving them, or the death of a child, or losing their job, or something very, very emotional that they want to tell me to add to the whole picture, but they don't necessarily want repeated. And so we'll gloss over that, and that adds to my understanding of them. And then I'll get the camera, and once they're relaxed, and I'll start photographing them, and then hopefully doing them justice and treating them with respect.
Oh, that's amazing. And it sounds like, you know, just instilling in those people a sense of trust, and then they can really share with you. So it sounds like you're an absolute master at the craft. Well done.
Well, look, thank you. I was in another pub, which is not in this book, and I very quickly, I once had a contract taken out of my life by a criminal who had just been released from Pentridge. And I was talking to two guys who'd known each other for over 30 years. And one of them said, well, if he was in Pentridge, he was a fair dinkum bloke. And his mate said, well, how would you know? He said, well, I was in Pentridge. He said, well, what were you in Pentridge for? And he gave him the details of why he was in Pentridge for 6 months. And he said, I've known you for 32 years. I never knew you were in jail. And he said, you never asked me that.
That's true. Sometimes it's about just asking.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's not something that you start asking him for, you know. G'day, mate. Hang on. Ever been in jail? It's not one of those sort of, you know, early icebreaker questions. But it is... One of the things that I notice when you talk, everything is in the present. Nobody tells a story about the past. It will be like, and so I walk in and I talk to this guy, and he's looking at me, and he says to me, and I say to him, and he wants to do it. So we go down there and we come back. It's all in the, and so I write exactly as they speak. There is no tense. It is all present. There is no future. There is no past in a pub conversation. When people get together, all the tales are happening right now.
But whatever happened with that that situation with you, your life being in danger?
Oh, do you really want to know that?
Yeah.
Well, I was alerted. A person that I knew very well, who's passed away now, intercepted the... someone tipped him off that there'd been a contract taken out of my life. And he alerted me. And he put an armed guard. Oh, this was in the eastern suburbs in Sydney, and they put an armed guard front and back of my house. That he said, we've got cars at the front and the back. They're all ours and they're all heavy, meaning they had guns. And they kept a guard on my house. And 3 days later, he rang me, and his exact words were, "We've had a conference with the other party. We've explained that you're untouchable, and it has to be voided. But you have to ring up, Colin." And I went, okay. I said, I'm not going to ring up because he started it. And he said, you're going to ring up or you're going to die.
Oh my goodness.
And so I said, what's the number? And so I rang up and I said, I apologise for insulting you and stuff like that. Hung up and then and the contract was voided.
Oh, bloody hell, that's full on.
The gentleman concerned has passed away.
But
despite that, I'm still not, when I tell that story, I still don't divulge what his name was.
Yeah, but, fair enough.
But if you Google him, he was a serious character.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so when you have those sorts of things in your life and you can trade those sorts of stories, then it opens floodgates. These people who are reticent at the start, then you start trying to get a word in is sometimes like trying to take a sip out of a fire hose. You know, there's just this torrent coming out at you, and you just stand back and let it all rush.
Oh wow! So we can find ourselves a copy of Volume 1 of Drinking in the Rivers: The Memorable Pubs and Unforgettable Characters of the Murray and Edward Rivers. Colin Whelan, where can we find that?
Okay. I'm glad you asked that. Country bookshops are doing it as tough as pubs. And this book is very much, given what we have at the moment, the lockdowns and stuff like that, it's very much a book to be read in lockdown to make plans of how you're going to escape and what you're going to do. it is, I think it's an ideal Father's Day book. And anybody who orders one online before Friday will still get it for Father's Day. But country bookshops are doing it as tough as country pubs. Unfortunately, New South Wales are all closed at the moment. But if you go to your local bookshop and ask for Drinking in the Rivers, they will either have it or be able to get it in. But if you can't get there, just go to a webpage called nothingbutthepub.com. Just nothingbutthepub.com, and you can order it there.
An absolute delight to have a yarn with you today, Colin Whelan. Thanks for your time.
Oh, look, I'm honoured and privileged at the interest that you show, Jenny. Thank you very much.